You're listening to The Dan Nichols Show.
It's midlife crisis time on The Dan Nichols Show this week as my guest lurches from one misfiring career to another. One minute, he's a professional rugby player in the making. The next, he's got teaching all written over. I think he was a nightclub bouncer in the Eastern Cape briefly. That didn't go too well either. And now he's had to settle with being probably one of the most exciting young television talents in the country. He is Kuhle Sonkosi, which will mean absolutely nothing to those outside of his immediate family, but to his army of fans on TV and beyond, he is quite simply Cooks from Supersport. Welcome.
Hi, Dan. It's good to see you.
I see you with a big smile mostly, but also a real understanding that life has changed in terms of the relationship we have. When you first came on to the Dan Nichols Show as this young, exciting internet sensation who had a habit of doing television interviews into hairbrushes and empty yogurt cartons. And I thought, oh, here's somebody. I'll bring him on. He'll be a flash in the pan for a month or two. And then we'll move on to other things and he'll go back to wherever he came from, the Eastern Cape. I now know where you really stand, given that at a recent SA20 game, with the option of Ryan Rickleton, player of the tournament, one of the great attacking batsmen of modern cricket, Rory Steyn, Mandela's bodyguard and confidant. I think there were a couple of pop stars who were in the room. My nine-year-old son ignored all of them and said, Daddy, do you think I can get an autograph from Cooks? So here is the benchmark for me. You are now proper superstar stuff, Mr. Sonkosi.
I'll take that. I mean, I did pay him to say that.
He's very easy that way.
Yeah. No, it's been crazy actually. To be fair, it's been 5 years now. I still remember the first time I came on the show. I mean, I was still teaching then, and I flew in and then had to fly back to P and go teach the next day. And then now, I mean, to do this full time, it's been crazy. I mean, I'll say 5 years. It's been an incredible journey. I've run out of microphone props now. That's the problem. There's no more remotes, hairbrushes as much as I can use. Now I've got to sort of recycle them. So I've got to stick to a real microphone at work.
You've had this journey, and it seems like both, you know, 50 years and 5 minutes, you've always been around for the last while. And yet just yesterday, it did seem that here's this teacher with a sense of humor. The reality of where you find yourself now, how often do you stop and think back, you know what, with a very slightly different turn of events, I could still be on a Monday morning wishing I hadn't had a few beers with the mates after football on a Sunday afternoon, as I'm now trying to get through a bunch of standard eights, grade nines through class this morning?
No, I think about it. Not often. I mean, because it's such a strange thing because how quickly it happened. You know, one moment, you know, I was staying on at Woodridge, I was teaching and I was happy and I was coaching first team rugby, became director of rugby. And then within 5 months, I was living in Joburg. So like, I look back now and it's just so strange because, like, you are right. I mean, what if, honestly, what if COVID didn't happen? Then I probably had a full rugby season. I probably wouldn't have made any videos. And then you go, what if, you know, I said no to moving to Joburg and just stay in PE for... The initial plan was to stay, finish the year, then move the end of the year, but I decided I'll move in August of 21. So it's like one of those things where you, one decision year could have changed. And, you know, all this funny, what I tell people, like the scariest thing, I remember arriving in Joburg, sitting in an empty flat with three suitcases in my golf bag, and I'm like, I kept saying, let me just give this Joburg thing a year. And then 5 years later, I'm still here.
When you came up, you'd left what was a very comfortable, very happy space. You were genuinely enjoying teaching, loving the rugby. I have absolutely no doubt you were a fantastic teacher. And the feedback from kids who've been asked about you has always been mostly warm and engaging. But when you came up, was there a plan? Was there a backup? Was there an idea of exactly what you were going to do?
I mean, I think the plan was, well, for me, I was just to figure it out. And I just give it a go. And at that stage, Super Sports Schools was just starting. And I was sort of like, they put me in this four-month contract, almost a bit of like a trial period. And I remember thinking, like, this contract ends in December. And I was like, what happens after December? And I was like, well, I'll figure it out in December. And I was working at a marketing agency. I finally made use of my marketing degree. It took me only like, what, 5 years to do it. And then And then I remember just working, and I realized I did not like being in an office, and I knew what I wanted to do, was coach rugby or, you know, see where the TV stuff goes. And then, lucky enough, I got offered a contract in December. But it was strange because, like, there wasn't sort of a plan B, but I'm a big believer in whatever I do, like, in taking a chance, and it's kind of, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, then, well, I gave it a go. And that was my thinking, was whatever happens, I can, you know, I can fly back and go home and teach, or I can figure it out. And I realized that I'm really happy I took that chance.
Were there moments in those first 4 months where you raised an eyebrow in the mirror in the morning and thought, hang on, what am I doing here? Is this actually going to work? Is this a good idea?
Yeah, there were. I mean, I think it was the scariest part was probably, like, as close to December when you start, the reality comes, like, what if, like, I don't, you know, get a job at SuperSport, or I stop being funny, which is like, what if people don't like my videos anymore? And then, because at that stage, you're probably thinking, like, I was like, it's been a year since sort of the videos went viral. And you're like, how long can I sustain this? And you're thinking, okay, cool, it should die down. So it was scary. And obviously, you're in a different city, in Joburg. And I was trying to see, like, do I move back to PE? Like, what is plan B? And then, yeah, so it was very, very nerve-wracking. And then I remember, like, just having the thought of, like, what happens if I do go back? Am I a failure? Like, is it because of this? And then, luckily, it all worked out. It all worked out.
It's a very subjective form that you embraced. When you start out, though, there's no real sense of expectation. This is just something you're doing because it's COVID and you're bored and it's having to keep yourself entertained. And your critic base, I think, extended to the kids at school telling you if they thought last week's one was any good or not. And that you can probably handle, because if they say that they don't like it, they're on detention for a week and then everything's fine. Then all of a sudden, hang on, 10,000 people have just watched this. 50,000 people have seen this. 100,000 people have watched my video. It's a great endorsement, but it also now means, okay, well, if I put out the next one, there are 100,000 people expecting to laugh and enjoy that one as well, which places what you do in a slightly different space.
It is strange, because, I mean, like, my funniest thing for me is, like, so when I record the videos, I'm normally at home by myself. So I'll go, and I'll sit there sometimes and I'll go, I think this is really funny. But again, as an audience of one, and then you think to yourself, like, okay, I need to post this video. Like, I think it's really funny, and I think now I'm a bit harsher on myself. Like, when I just started making videos, you're kind of not expecting anything else. But now it's like, I critique myself a little bit more. But the scariest thing is when, because again, it's just me in a room by myself. There's no one else, so you sort of thinking, okay, cool. Like, I really hope what I'm doing in this little room is going to make 100,000 people laugh, 10,000 people laugh, whatever it may be. And it's like such a weird thing, because, like, I can't go to someone else and be like, so what is your TV interview style? Because what I do is quite unique. So it's like, it is weird. And I do find it very, very, very scary. I think the more, obviously, as it's gone, I think there's expectation, you know, like, you know, how many people are like, oh, can't wait for your next video. But the nice thing also with the videos now, if something happens, someone tends to say me something like, oh, please make a video about this, or there's load shedding, like, we're expecting a video. So I think everyone thinks that I go about my day just waiting for inconvenience so I can make an interview about it.
The quality and the unique style was something that caught on really quickly. Which was the first video that you made that really caught fire, that really made you discover that it was more than just your family and a couple of kids at school who had some interest in what you were doing?
I think 2020, I did one Man of the Match of a Christmas lunch. I did a Christmas lunch Man of the Match video.
I remember that one.
And I remember I begged my brother to shoot it. I was watching boxing and cricket, and my dad had gone to the shop, and I said to my brother, like, listen, can you please help me record this video? And he was like, he'd be like, you're like, sad, like, oh. Oh, stupid videos there. I just need you for like 1 minute. And we shot it. And then I just remember, as I posted on Twitter and on Instagram, it just, like, I used to get notifications on Twitter and Instagram then, and my phone just kept ping, 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 ping. And I was like, okay, cool, this is cool. And then you sort of, as it goes to 1,000 views, and then it's 5,000 views, and it's 10. And then I realized that CL Khulisi had shared on his story. I was like, oh, this is incredible. And then I remember, like, it got about over 150,000. And my brother and I was like, okay, cool, this is cool. And then those were on a Wednesday. And then the Friday, we did another video about, I did a cricket toss video about deciding whether we're going to go out or we're going to stay in. And that also just went crazy. And then I remember, like, then Sia followed me. And then, like, all this went. And then we both realized, we're like, oh, geez, like, we could be onto something then. I still had to beg him to shoot videos. I mean, he does get his royalties from now. He reminds me of whenever he sees me on TV. So yeah, it was those two. It was a span of, I said like a week. I mean, I think I always tell people, like, on the 26th of December, I think I had like 1,300 followers. And then by the time we got to probably the 4th of Jan, 5 videos later, 10,000 followers. So it changed drastically. And like, I couldn't help like look at your phone. I'm like, this is like, what on earth is going on here? And then it's going over and over and over and over. And then it was like a surreal week. And you go from making videos and then all of a sudden, like, you chatting to the Springbok captain and he's like, oh, I love your videos. You're like, well, I like what you do as well.
So you would have wrapped up the school term, the end of the school year, as just teacher cooks. And now you get back to school in January and suddenly you are, I think, at that stage, after Sia, the most followed person from the Eastern Cape, and you've got this wild level of interest and suddenly this whole new persona.
Yeah, it was funny because when I was teaching, I taught at the prep for a while, but coached the high school, and then I just moved to the high school in 2021. So I missed the first morning meetings because I had two TV interviews to do. So I had to call the headmaster. Like, I know it's day one, but like I'm gonna be late for my first day. I'm on TV this morning, and I got to work, and all my colleagues were just like, "What on earth has happened in the last few weeks?" I was like, "I don't know," and no, it was crazy, and like the kids loved it, and then it was so interesting because then I was trying to juggle sort of the teaching and sort of this video space. I mean, I remember I was doing the boxer was playing or playing the Lions that year. And I did some Springbok work where I was like, I'm literally teaching my grade 8 EMS class. In my lesson, in my gap year, I'm doing an interview with Peter Seth Tutoi, like Elton Yagi. And I was like, and then I must go back and teach again. Like, I was like this sounds like a normal day. And and that was the crazy thing. So like even my colleagues were, you know, it was just so surreal. Like, they couldn't believe what was going on. I mean, I was very popular in the staff room. One thing they did say, because I mean, obviously all the gigs coming in and I was earning extra cash. I mean, there's those deliveries in the office coming in almost every day. just gifts. Like, the guys love seeing the things coming in my office. And no, it was funny. But I mean, like I said, the headmaster then like made me laugh when I resigned. Actually, I said to him, like, I'm resigning. I'm moving to Joburg. And then so he's like, can I convince you to stay? Is it a money thing? So I was like, well, I feel like I'm a teacher, so like, unfortunately, most jobs do pay more.
We can give you another 5%.
I was like, no, I've got to move. And then I did tell him that I'll stay if I'd never to mark again. And then, yeah, but unfortunately, it didn't work out.
I think most teachers would agree to that. It's a wonderful story from there because it unfolded really, really quickly. I think what's been coolest for me to see is there was the risk of, well, Cooks is a bit of a one-trick pony. He can, here's a piece of tender stem broccoli. He's got his microphone and in we go on today's choice of what vegetables we're picking for the first 11. And you came up with some really cool ideas, but you've gone beyond just that and you've now established this space where every time you do an interview, you can see the person you're with is genuinely having a good time. They're genuinely smiling. And making people feel comfortable in that interview space is not always easy to do. But I think part of it is because you are still, as professionally as you pull it off, a sports fan at heart who can't quite believe his luck in being able to do what he's doing.
No, it is true. Like, I always say, like, I love every guy's dream of going to get paid to watch sport and travel and play golf 4 times a week, even terribly, but I mean, I don't work Mondays, so like, so it's very hard to complain. But you know, I mean, I still am a sports fan at heart. You know, I think that's the cool thing about like what I do is this genuine love what I do. Like, I still can't believe I get to do my job. You know, for example, like you have like the SA20 and the last one was Sunrisers one, and just a kid from the Eastern Cape seeing the Eastern Cape side win. And when I'm, you sort of, you touch line, you're on the field, you chatting to players, the players after they'd won, and some of them become good mates of mine, and which is also sometimes strange, like, you know, sometimes you like, you see those, you're like, I don't know how is this guy my friend, I still watch him play cricket, and all of a sudden we have a relationship, but like things like that, which is cool, like, you know, like, I mean, I've been lucky enough to have bucket list things, you know, going to Lourdes, in France last year, and like it's a 20, and sort of been traveling, like, and working at a World Cup, and like, so it's like all these things that I probably would be doing, I probably would be watching whilst probably teaching kids at the same time, and now I get to do it, and somehow I get to call it a job.
Do you miss the teaching?
Miss the kids. I think that's the cool thing. I think with what teaching is like, you know, I've still got relationships with most of the guys that I coach with. I think that's what I miss. It's like, it's exciting. You get a whole bunch of kids who come in every year, different characters, and that I do miss. I miss the sports. I mean, the sports is good fun as well. I mean, I miss the coaching rugby one is something I really do miss. Like, you know, you see all the guys now. I mean, who play first team rugby, they love sharing their stories. And when you coach first team, it's nice. You get to do that every single year with a different group. So with the teaching, I'll probably say, yeah, it's more the kids that I do not want to see. I do not want to mark ever again. or set a test or write a report or a report comment. So, yeah, that part, but yeah, genuinely just miss the kids.
When you get back to the Eastern Cape, when you get back to Gqeberha, and I think there are now three streets named after you. There's a Cook's Kuchle Square just outside of the Cook's Kuchle Stadium. It's a big deal, I know, for you to go home because you always love doing it, and you're very quick to point that out on social media. Is it more than anywhere else in the country, you know, getting stopped the moment you're at the airport, getting stopped when you're at Pick and Pay, having people come up to say hello and check in?
It's actually funny when I'm home. Like, it's more like my mates, for example, like, they just don't want to acknowledge what one of the two. They just give me...
As all good mates will.
to keep me as humble as I can. But, yeah, it is hectic when I do come back. It's a lot more stares. Like, some people just, like, look at me and they'll be like, and you see them whispering, like, that's Cooks. And it's like... And a lot of people will be like... Yeah, the funniest thing, whenever I come home, it's like, oh, it's... From the mall, most of the time, it'll be like, why don't you live here anymore? And I was like, well, I mean, I live in Joburg. And one thing about the guys in Gqeberha, they hate the fact when I say, oh, I'm flying home. They're like, oh, you can make a pee. Like, oh, no, I'm going to Joburg, like, where I live. They're like, that's not your home. Like, so I'm not allowed to call Joburg home anymore. So I just say, I'm going to Joburg. Even though I live here, I got all my stuff. So, yeah, it's, home is great. And the people in P, like, they definitely treat me well when I come home, when I go home. But yeah, it's just my mates really, really love when I get home just to remind me of like what I do. They're like, they make sure that I keep grounded. I mean, the funny thing is they roast me and keep me grounded and make sure I pay for every bill. So they've got to choose one fight.
Look, I did see the Maserati you arrived in. So things are clearly going well in the career. What about the rest of the travel? How often are you walking through an airport and somebody jumps you and hands you a wrench and asks you to do a quick piece for them? I know comedians generally, the worst possible line, oh, tell us a joke.
Yeah.
Are you getting people, oh, please just do us an interview and here's a carrot to do it with?
Yeah, I mean, that's the people love just coming. As you see, phones out and they've got some sort of microphone and then you're going to start making a video. People always want me to describe my weekend. So they're like, what's the plan for this weekend? And which is funny. I mean, my favorite is like, a couple will come and most of the time the girl will know who I am, but the guy will obviously know my videos and I have to watch him show her my video of me standing there. And like, she's forced to laugh now because I'm standing like this. But, yeah, it is quite cool. Like people do come up and, you know, people want to come say hi, and which and it's strange because I've sort of been on the other side of it as well, and then now I've sort of got to smile and, you know, take pictures, and which is still weird. Or I mean, sign autographs. The funniest thing my mate said to me, because I've got two signatures, I've got my normal one, then I've got the one I sign as Cooks.
So then, child support documents, yeah, and other things that can't be legally, yeah, held.
100%. And then so he says to me, like, why do you have two signatures? I'm like, well, I don't think anyone knows the other signature. They'll be like, some poor kid will be like, so who's this? But if I go Cooks, at least they'll know it's me. So then he goes, geez, you've changed it. Like, two signatures. It's like, I said, I'm not, like, I know, but I'm like, I need to, I'm a man of the people. Like,
the other side of it, as you refer to, are you still on that other side, though, occasionally? Are there still moments where your new-ish line of work puts you into contact or introduction with a sports star, and even you are taking a slight double take and I can't quite believe this person is not only in the room with me, but I'm about to have a conversation with them or film something with them?
Yeah, I still get that. I had an interview with Kane Williamson for SA20, and I'd asked work, requested him, and then he said yes, and I probably didn't concentrate much in the game for the next 2 hours. I was like, what do you say to Kane Williamson? And sometimes you stand there and you're like interviewing, you're listening, but you're also like, man, this guy's like, you just like sort of zone out, like, I can't believe I'm talking to. And it was sort of a few times. I think I remember like my first World Cup meeting Michael Owen. He was here for the World Cup, and you know, you sit there like, that's a Ballon d'Or winner, and then Jaap Stam is there, and then sort of as sort of workers, and then you like, I always tell people, like, somehow, like, I've become friends with Brian Abanda, like, if we get along really well, and then like, and I love him to bits. But it's always funny when I chat to him. I'm like, or like, I'll chat with someone, like, we'll look at my phone. And it's like, oh, like, you're training by the band. I was like, yeah, it's just, I was sending him a message about something. And he's like, why? And I was like, well, I've got his number. and things like that. And like, you know, Sean Pollock, we happen to have a good relationship as well through work and guys like that, where that's in like the fan in me still comes out. And you're like, this is actually insane. Like, yes, you know, it's the people too, but it's like, you know, it's the guys you grew up watching. And now you sort of have a relationship, and then, you know, at work, they always make me laugh. Like, you gotta act natural and be cool and be yourself, because like, I'm like, but this is not normal. Like, it's not like a normal situation. So that, I still get that. I mean, like I said, I'm a sports fan at heart. I think I got very emotional. I walked to Lords for the first time, and you know, it's one of those things where you're like, you know, I've never watched Australia play live before. Like, it's, you're watching like that's with Steve Smith and guys like that, and you're watching Proteas, they're watching against Lords and things. I feel like once I lose that, then what's the point? Like, I feel like I'll never lose that sort of fandom part of it.
And it's such an important part of who you are. I was going to say persona, but it's not a persona. It really is authentic. And that excitement, that slightly breathless delight that, oh my goodness, I am here and this is who I'm speaking to, it really comes across when you have a conversation. And I think that's why you have this enormous fan base, is that people just see, well, this is somebody who could be my mate and he's just hanging out with really cool sports people. And it's a really natural, fun engagement. And I can see why it would be slightly better than marking.
Yeah, slightly better. The funniest thing is, I think people like, I think that's what I try to sort of portray. Like, you know, I do tell people, like, it is, as much as a persona is, it is just who I am. That's why, like, sometimes I feel like I had no value if I get asked to do a motivational talk. Because I'd be like, well, this is who I am. It's just personalities. Like, just be yourself. That's it. Well done. Thank you. Okay, I'll take my paycheck, please. Thank you. But
unless, of course, they gave you an empty can of Pepsi and said, yeah, now give your motivational talk. Then you'd be fine.
Yeah, then I'll be fine. Because that's the thing. Like, it is my personality. You know what I mean? I don't, you know, make a video. So I don't have like a script written down or anything. I don't, it's not teleprompter. It's just me, and I just, whatever comes to my mind, and obviously I'll come with ideas. So that's why that is the cool thing. Is what I do is just, it's a reflection of who I am. It's a part of who I am. It's not something put on or persona, because then if we run this drive, you have nothing to fall back on. So at least now I know it's just, I shouldn't stop being funny. Like, I hope not. Like, that means going back to playing golf once a week. So that's the motivation. Just work hard enough to make sure I don't work Mondays. I can play golf.
So many terrific moments so far. I think the career shift as a whole has been a massive, massive highlight. But from those individual ones, what has been the favourite thus far?
I think, I must say last year was probably the favourite. I think last year, like, I mean, I did a stint where I think I did three overseas trips in about 10 weeks. You know, Cardiff and then I was in Paris.
Yeah,
and
you weren't a geography teacher, no. Were you?
No. I went to London, and it was just like a weird thing. Like, I remember I was in PE. One thing I always wanted to do was travel and go overseas. And I went once in 2023, and then last year, you go three times in 10 weeks, and it's all for work. And then it was like almost a big, like, sort of full circle moment of going, listen, this is something I started 4 years ago. Now this is my new normal. Now is what I do now, you know, traveling the world for like traveling the world, doing the thing that I love. So, I mean, luckily enough, I mean, wherever I went last year, all the sides I went to support won. So I'm a good luck charm for that. So if the Proteas need me in India, I'll be ready. So yeah, that was probably was my favorite moment. It was just more just like the, obviously seeing the journey come together and seeing like how it went from moving to Joburg to now being in a situation where it's work nonstop, travel, and you're sort of overseas doing the thing I love.
And I can't see that stopping, but I also know that there is this creative drive to you and you get a lot of reward from, not the reinvention, but finding new ways to express and to enjoy. 5 years done. What does the next 5 years look like for Cooks?
It's an interesting one. I still would love to carry on in the space that I'm doing now. And like I said, I mean, I love the process of creating content. So, I mean, I'd love to obviously work some, do more behind the scenes stuff. Like, because for me, it's just the ability to create something and to come up with a video is, like I said, it's generally like my favorite thing to do is to, you know, find ways to make people laugh, find ways, different ways. So hopefully keep on the same journey in 5 years' time. I'm hoping, do more work behind the scenes, do more presenting as I'm doing now. Probably still travel a bit more, get that golf handicap down as well. So I'm hoping for a good next 5 years.
And from a kind of a personal settled life, I know you've found this new home to the dismay of those back in Kabaka, that is here in Johannesburg. I've been very fortunate the last 5 or 6 times we've been at a social engagement together, and I've been able to wave past your security as you sit in VIP signing things and smiling. There's always been somebody else rather attractive on the arm. It just seems to be this constant stream of eye-catching models. That sense of balance, that finding a new home that goes beyond just here's my job, the friendship circle, the full and rewarding personal life. Do you find you've got that nailed as well?
Yeah, I think I've got that nailed down. I think I've got sort of good support base around me with mates, and you know, luckily what I do is also very sociable. I've got a long line of people needing tickets, so like I get my phone is always there, I've got guys doing tickets. So yeah, I've got a good balance, you know. I think, and my mates and, you know, everyone else, it's in family. It's hard what I do. Like obviously I travel weekends, so you're missing weddings and things like that. But they're very understanding. So I managed to find a good base, and Joburg has become home. And 5 years in now, you've sort of built a nice network of people around who do understand. And like I said, it's very easy to be mates with when you can sort of just give them box tickets. So it's a nice way to bribe people. So that does help as well.
If you are watching this on YouTube as opposed to simply listening on one of your podcast platforms, the number on screen is actually Cooks' number. And do feel free to give him a shout at any point for any game. He's guaranteed to sort you out. I wrap with a question I was asking some friends a week or two ago. Like you, I've been lucky enough to get to a couple of pretty cool sports events over the years. I can see your visits to Lourdes and visits to Cardiff in Wales, as you helpfully pointed out, and raise you a visit to Tobago's International Goat Racing Stadium, which I think even you've yet to get to. So this might be on your bucket list. But of the ones that you haven't been to, what would be absolutely top of the list, super sport phone you. You know what, Cooks, we need you off at, what would it be?
I would love to go to New Zealand, watch Eden Park to watch a test match. I was sad and I missed last year. So I'd probably say New Zealand's up there. I think my travel is all bucket list. It's all sports related. I mean, that's, so I'd probably say New Zealand to watch Springbok test. Let me see. I think Europe is fine. I think the biggest one is New Zealand in the Springbok test, and then wherever Chelsea is playing the Champions League final, I'll just follow them around.
All right, so no rush then. those would be two absolute crackers. I'm hoping to get to Wimbledon. I think that would be top of the list of ones I haven't got to yet. And I'll also get you some tickets for that old Ed's under 10 cricket season. Given that you signed Aidan's cap, I think he can return the favour with box hospitality and the other eight people watching alongside.
Yeah, I'll take that. Does it come with orange slices and sandwiches?
Yep, and a half-time interview from you, Cooks.
That's perfect.
Thank you so much. It's such a cool story, and I think the moment you joined us on the Dan Nicholls Show as this teacher moonlighting as an entertainer, it was pretty clear that your teaching days were numbered, not because it wasn't something you were good at, you were particularly good, and it was a big loss to the world of teaching, but it's put a big smile on the face of so many others instead, probably led by yourself, and that that big grin is evidence of five wonderful, wonderful years and many, many more to come. So good luck with it, keep entertaining us, and there might still be one or two things you can find as a microphone, but we'll be keeping a close eye on Instagram and X to see what pops up.
Thanks so much, Dan. Really appreciate you having me. Yeah, you're right. I'm sure that's one thing. That's my new mission. I got to find new microphones. That's the plan.
Send in your suggestions either to the show's normal email address or if it's to Eastern Cape by fax, and we'll pass them on to Mr. Kuchles Sonkosi, teacher at large, who is now Cook's television superstar. The rugby career, the teaching career, but now I think finding the space for which he was always destined as a great entertainer and a sports lover who just happens to have found the perfect job. On the Dan Nicholls Show this week, Cook's Quickly.
You're listening to the Dan Nicholls Show.